Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgeway. I'm the host of Financial Advisor, Say the Darndest Things of My Mom's Favorite Christian Financial Advisor. And if you're worried about inflation and outliving your finances, if you want to build generational wealth and be able to pass that wealth on to your children without a lot of bickering, fighting, and arguing, and if you're a true servant of God and want your works to match your faith, then you are in the right place, because today we are going to talk about the family that gives together stays together. If you like this message, be sure to join our mailing list. The link will be in the description. And if you're looking for a financial advisor, be sure to schedule a free consultation and let's discuss how we can make your life easier. But let's dive in. When you have a family unit, you want to make sure that you divide up that responsibility amongst all that participate. When my son does laundry, everyone benefits from a warm towel after a shower. When my daughter cleans up the living room, everyone enjoys a clean space to watch a movie. When my other sons, who are 5 and 4, dress themselves, it frees up everyone's time to focus on their hygiene. Now, when we all contribute, it has a greater impact on the goal than if just one of us is carrying that workload. Now, let's talk about some things that could be a threat to this type of structure. One of the biggest threats to a person's net worth is not bad investment decisions or even taxes. The biggest threat is a communication breakdown between generations. If you're fortunate enough to attend my webinar, 3 Secrets Every Christian Should Know About Finances, I told a story of an elderly lady who inherited $1 million from her uncle. She lived a frugal life, depriving herself of even a new mattress, trying to preserve her wealth. Due to the death of her only daughter from cancer and a widow herself, when she passed, her despised son-in-law inherited all of her assets. After failed businesses, poor financial decisions, and blowing the money on trips with his new quote-unquote girlfriend, he was able to dwindle her $4 million account down to $100,000 in only 18 months. Not only that, by year 2, he was broke, the account was drawn down to 0, and he was taking out payday loans. That was over 60 years of savings and work gone in 2 years because of a communication breakdown. There were no estate documents, there were no wills, there were no beneficiaries listed, and there were no instructions on how to use the money. I get asked all the time about strategies to help open lines of communication amongst your heirs. Keep in mind, they don't have to be your biological children. In that same webinar, I share a story of how one investor left her fortune to her niece and godchild, even though she did have biological children of her own. Every story doesn't have to be a tragedy. You have the opportunity to make a difference in your life and of the lives of your beneficiaries. So understand this, the family that gives together stays together. It is never too early to start talking to your beneficiaries about giving. It's a great idea to start developing ideas about how you're giving and why. My grandmother passed of Alzheimer's disease. My uncle passed of the same thing. My father's greatest fear is that he may also suffer from this disease, which he is suffering from now. Seeing my family hurt mentally, spiritually, and financially due to this horrific disease that strips the presence of a person and only leaves them a shell of themselves guides my giving. Organizations like the Alzheimer's Association means the world to me. So we participate in fundraising walks, we donate to their cause, and we help spread the message and provide support for those who are struggling with this disease. And when the day comes that I pass away, my children know exactly how to honor and carry on my legacy. And it won't be by putting my money in a savings account and not touching it. When you involve your children in your giving, it sets the standard by which you want them to operate in your presence. This will help ensure, especially if you have the trust in writing, that what you want to happen actually happens. So that's why we have to have values over organization. Before you go rush out and open a charitable trust or educational trust, it's important to understand why. If you don't have a trust already, during the process, it is a great opportunity to teach your beneficiary the criteria by which you're choosing these organizations. Organizations change, leadership change, and policy changes, but values don't. So when the organization is no longer upholding its end of the bargain, your children will know how to pivot in the right direction and where to pivot to. When giving, make sure that you involve your children. Let them know your thought process. What amount did you give to an organization? How often do you give to them and why? This will help them develop their own process that they can use when managing your legacy. In wealthy families, the legacy of giving can last for generations if done properly. And of course, those descendants can establish their own ways of giving, while at the same time participating in the family's business of philanthropy. But it starts with bringing them in and establishing what values the family is going to base their decisions on. I love this excerpt from Philanthropy Daily in an article by Rebecca Richards. Not every family will prioritize maintaining strict adherence to an original donor's intent, but developing a set of principles to drive thoughtful philanthropy creates a giving ethos with a sense of continuity. The practice of philanthropy is also one way to strengthen family ties rather than let conflict over money tear them apart. By establishing good habits early, prioritizing time spent together, and refining their values, families can cultivate a spirit of generosity that carries forward. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." See, God depends on us to carry on His legacy of giving. We don't want to neglect this responsibility, and we don't want our children to neglect it either. Remember when I spoke about my children doing their part? Well, your beneficiaries and your children will need to do their part, but that standard comes from you. If you do not show them how to be cheerful givers by example, they may end up ruining their legacy and losing everything that you worked so hard to accumulate. My word of encouragement today is to speak up. You may not feel comfortable letting them know how much money you have out of fear of bickering and argument, but if that's your fear, then it is even more important that you have that conversation, because they're going to fight if you're there or not. I hope that you've been blessed. God loves you, and He knows that a family who gives together stays together. Once again, I'm A.B. Ridgeway, and if you're not subscribed to the newsletter, be sure to join us, as if your finances dependent on it, because it does. Just use the links below and be sure to go to www.abrwealthmanagement.com to learn more about me and how we can serve you. Well, my name is A.B. Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.